Here's a question for you. How do you usually greet people when you meet them? I guess it depends on the situation. If it's a formal situation, you might say hello and maybe shake their hands. If it's a less formal situation, you might say hi, and you might fist bump or palm slap. In families like mine, we love to hug, just like you guys, many of you guys do here on Sunday morning. I love the hugs. You have the gift of hugging. I don't know if that's in the Bible or not, but it should be. All around the world, there are many, many different traditions of how people greet one another. For instance, if you were in a Persian Gulf country, it would be very common to rub noses. Yeah, okay. Well, somebody's got to do it, you know, so I'm glad they've got it. If you were in Europe and elsewhere, you might want to give a little air kiss towards the cheek. I can handle that. In Japan and elsewhere, I bet you know this one, they like to bow to each other to show respect. But our Jewish friends have the best greeting of all because they use the Hebrew word shalom, which we translate with our word peace. Now, when the prophets talked about the first coming of Jesus, the words that they used in the Bible were two words, sur shalom, S-U-R, sur shalom, which translates into English, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Sur Shalom. In our culture, the word peace usually means an absence of conflict. No war, no fighting, no quarreling. We call that peace. But shalom is far, far more than that. Shalom means to be filled in every way and with everything that is good. What a great greeting that is. Shalom is mentioned 236 times in the Bible, so it must be a pretty important word. And as you know, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in Bethlehem, part of their greeting, part of their message was this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, shalom. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The Bible has lots to say about our Prince of Peace. Here are just two verses. In John 16:33, Jesus himself is speaking, and he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You may have shalom. And then, by the way, reminder, filled in every way with everything. That's what Jesus said. And in Ephesians 2:14, Paul said, for he himself is our shalom, our peace, filled in every way with everything that is good. All of that is beautifully reflected in our Christmas traditions. We see it in Christmas cards with pictures of snow on the ground and dark sky filled with stars. And we see it in manger scenes that people set up all the time. And we hear it in many of our carols like Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. But here was the situation. I want you to walk back with me in time to a Christmas approximately 160 years ago. The year was 1863, and a man by the name of Henry was with his son, and his son's name was Charles. Henry, father, Charles, his son. Henry's wife had just died. Charles's mother had just died. And Henry was grieving. It was just the two of them alone in Massachusetts. The Civil War was threatening the unity of America about that time, and Henry did not want his son Charles to have to go into war, into battle. But one night, Charles slipped out of the house without his dad knowing, and he joined the Union Army. And then he wrote his father a letter, and it said in part, "Dad, I have tried hard to resist the temptation of going without your leave, but I cannot any longer. I feel it to be my first duty to do what I can for my country, and I would willingly lay down my life for it if it would be of any good." Henry didn't receive that letter until March of that year, and now it's December. And another letter arrived. And that letter told him that Charles had fought in the Battle of Mine Run in Fredericksburg, Virginia. A bullet had just missed his spine. He survived, thankfully, he survived. But he was recovering in a makeshift hospital at New Hope Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So Henry got to that hospital as fast as he could, and while he was sitting at his son's bedside, he wrote a poem. That's what he did. His full name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And this is part of the poem that he wrote. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thunders in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." That was the heartfelt sentiment of a grieving father and a very frightened father, a grieving husband and a frightened father. And it sounds pretty cynical when you think about it, especially since Jesus came to bring shalom. But wait, here's something a little confusing. And I'm reading from the Bible, from Matthew 10, beginning in verse 34, where Jesus is speaking, and listen to what he said. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth." What? "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn man against his father, and daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Talk about cynical. Are you confused? Well, join the crowd. You have lots of company on that. So let's try to figure this out, okay? In that passage in Matthew, Jesus was not making a statement. He was quoting an Old Testament scripture from the prophetic book of Micah. Now, when Micah wrote those words, He was also living in the midst of a civil war with Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And Micah was despondent, depressed, just as Longfellow was centuries later. And Micah was reporting on the realities of sin and hatred that was all around him happening every day. And so sadly is still happening today. Amen. A man against his father. A daughter against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies being the members of his own household. It's the opposite of shalom. And some of you have lived through it in your life. And some of you may be living through it right now. I don't know. For you, Christmas may not seem all that wonderful. Well, listen to this. When Jesus quoted those words from Micah in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples. Why was he talking to them? He was sending them out into the world to share the good news, the gospel. And he was giving them both instructions and some brutally honest warnings. He wanted them to know that by sharing the gospel, some members of their own families might turn against them. Those Jewish men, those disciples, understood what Jesus was saying because of something in their belief system that they know very well. They believed then, and they believe still today, that when the day of the Lord arrives, there will be painful divisions among family members. So by quoting Micah to them, Jesus was sending this message: what you have been waiting for has now come. Here I am. Listen to the next verse in Micah 7. And the prophet said this: but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Hallelujah. And earlier in the book of Micah, he said these familiar words: but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, through you, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. The word ancient times is translated from eternity. If Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem had ended where it did, where we ended it earlier, it would have been a real downer. But like Micah, even though he had lost all hope, he added this last verse. It says, then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail. I love that. Stand on that. The wrong shall fail. And then he said, the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. You know, one of the harsh realities about this time of the year is that the devil hates Christmas, and he becomes very active trying to get rid of all the shalom he can. He loves to poke a hole in the peace and tranquility of families. The world, well, the world works extra hard to try to unite families at Christmas time through materialism, through colorful decorations, through pretty things that have very little or maybe nothing to do with God on earth through Jesus Christ. We all know this. You cannot buy love. You cannot. Nor can you buy unity. Yet countless people are trying to do that this week, right now. They're trying to do that. No amount of wrapping paper or bows or mistletoe or decorations can bring shalom. It comes from a different source altogether. What brings out the worst behavior in people? Weddings, funerals, and holidays. Welcome to the devil's playground. Jesus knew that would happen, and Jesus knows that that's happening now all too often. And it happens to Christian families, not just pagan families. God does not want that for you and for me. However, the devil does. The devil does. And the devil is skilled as a robber. Don't allow him to do that. Don't allow him to do that to you and your family. How? You know the answers. You can put as much time and energy and money as you want into the trappings of Christmas. Just be sure to put far more into the true heart of Christmas. Jesus did not come to bring us trappings. Jesus came to bring us shalom. Let that sink in. Now remember this. Shalom is not the absence of conflict. Until Christ returns, there is going to be conflict. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be all kinds of stress in this world. As we said earlier, shalom means to be filled with everything that is good. Shalom is inner peace. Inner peace. There may not be peace in your family all the time, but there can be peace in your soul, regardless of what's happening with your loved ones in your family. How are you doing with all that? Don't tell me. I don't need to know. But how are you doing with all of that? If you have shalom, brothers and sisters, you know it. If you don't have shalom, you know that too. Even if everything in your life is going haywire, Christ offers an inner peace that is so deep and so profound that nothing in the world can touch it. But you know what? That gift of His is not complete unless you open your heart to receive it and allow Him to bless you with His peace. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Colossians 3:15, which says, "Let the peace of Christ, let the shalom of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the one body, you were called to shalom." You were called to shalom. Here's something that none of us likes to hear. You, yourself, may be your second worst enemy, with the devil being your first and worst. He may be helping you to focus on everything else in life and missing God's wonderful peace, and not just at Christmas. Maybe your parents taught you something. My parents attempted to teach me this. And that is that the pursuit of happiness is fulfilled by how much money you can accumulate. I bet I hit a few nerves there. So you work at it. Maybe you're even good at it. But that money is not going to bring you shalom. Those of you who have plenty of money, you've learned that. It doesn't bring shalom. Nor is the spending a lot of money on Christmas gifts going to bring you true shalom. It may be too late for me to be preaching that today, but it's true. The only truly satisfying source of that kind of peace is God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace, shalom, I leave with you. My shalom I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." As our wonderful counselor, we seek him. As our mighty God, we rest in him. As our everlasting Father, we run to him with our arms wide open. And as our Prince of Peace, we enjoy life the way he intended it to be.